from Local 12 Sports. It's the Skinny Podcast. Now, here's Richard Skinner.
Welcome into the Skinny Podcast. It's an emergency podcast edition after the University of Kentucky names Mark Pope as its next head coach. I'm Richard Skinner, Local12.com digital sports columnist and editor with Rick Broering. If this is the only time you've joined us, we also have our weekly podcast that dropped a couple of days ago, in which we talked a lot about John Calipari leaving for Arkansas, the Reds, and many other things. And as always, it's sponsored by Blake, the attorney, Maislin. Rick, my phone blew up yesterday as this was starting to trickle out. I'm sure yours did too. What are your first thoughts on this?
Well, my first thoughts were this morning, my phone dinged a couple times early. I go, what's this about? And it wasn't about Xavier. It wasn't any information that people were looking for. It was people asking for your opinion on Mark Pope becoming the new head coach at Kentucky. So I said, you know what? I'll give him a call. Maybe we'll hop on here real quick and do something. So I'm glad you were able to do this, give the people what they wanted. Skinny, I guess my first initial thoughts on Mark Pope becoming the new head coach at Kentucky is, I don't think it's a terrible hire. I don't think Mark Pope is going to do bad necessarily. But if I'm a Kentucky fan, I would be absolutely livid about the process here by Mitch Barnhart. I think that's the issue that they're going to have. Not that Mark Pope is a bad guy. Not that he can't coach. Not that they won't get behind him and try to support him as fans. But how do you make the jump from talking to Dan Hurley and Scott Drew to a guy who has never won an NCAA tournament game? It feels very much, and you referenced this earlier on our podcast this week, that Mitch Barnhart, getting close to retirement, wanted nothing to do with this hiring process. And when he was forced to do it, he kind of made the few things you had to do, which was make the offer to the Dan Hurley. He tried to get the guy he wanted in Scott Drew. And when that didn't work out, he said, I'm washing my hands of this, and I'm not going with anyone with baggage. I'm just going to hire the easiest hire that I feel most comfortable with.
And I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I know there's a report today I saw, and I can't remember where, that apparently Kentucky either contacted Billy Donovan directly or his representatives, and Billy said thanks, but no thanks. So for those that think they didn't pursue him, again, it's just a report. Doesn't mean it's 1,000% accurate, but that's out there too. And I said it in the podcast this week, I wasn't overly thrilled with Billy Donovan when 10 years ago, I would jump through hoops for Billy Donovan.
I'd agree with that.
Times have changed. I mean, they just have changed it completely. All right. So I'm going to give you a coach here. It's Coach X. Let's just call him. All right. Coach X, he had the following coaching records at one point in his career: 13-17, 8-21, 14-18, 17-15, 16-17. You know who that coach is?
Danny Hurley.
Danny Hurley.
Yeah, see, I get that. And again, I don't think anyone's issue is that Mark Pope can't be a good coach in the future. I don't think anyone's issue is that Mark Pope couldn't have eventually been the head coach at Kentucky. I think everyone's issue is the process that led to Mark Pope being this high on your list.
All right, so let me give you a scenario. And I don't know this, but let me just give you the scenario. Obviously, in today's day of NIL, you and I talked about this, that we think Pat Kelsey's a great litmus test hire at Louisville to see if paying lesser for a coach and having your donors put more in NIL will lead to the results you're looking for in today's college basketball world. There are two reports this morning that two separate donors at Kentucky have already given $4 million to NIL. Whether that's accurate or not, I don't know, but it's two reports that are out there. I mean, do we know if, and we don't know this, did Mitch Barnhart talk to boosters who said, hey, Mark Pope might be our guy? The other process too, if you worry about his recruiting, does Reed Shepard come back now because of the relationship Jeff Shepard has with his dad? And again, you don't make that hire just for Reed Shepard. No. That's a hell of a get if you want to talk about him maybe being on the open market.
Well, you also got to think, if you're Mitch Barnhart and if you're not enthused about this process, and if you want, and anyone who's in that position would want to wrap it up as quickly as possible because you're in the midst of the transfer portal and you need to have a coach in place as soon as you can. Wouldn't the easiest play to look around to a couple of your biggest donors, say, hey, you like Mark Pope? I think we can get him. If you're on board, I'm on board. I think that's exactly what happened here. I think he got a couple of the biggest donors say, hey, we really need you back in the fold. We need you to give us big NIL dollars like you were before you maybe had a falling out with Cal. Are you down to do that? And they said yes. And then he went to probably to, I don't know if he went to Reed Shepard's family or not, right, but you have to imagine that relationship didn't hurt here. And quite honestly, if he went to Reed Shepard and let him make this hire for him, I don't think that's the worst process compared to what I thought he did before I'd heard a few of those other things. So, yeah, I mean, those two bits of information, the fact that they've already had some big NIL donors step forward because of this hire, and that you might have a chance of keeping Reed Sheppard now, definitely two big feathers in your cap if you're Mitch Barnhart in terms of this hire.
Yeah, and listen, in theory, you shouldn't make the hire for maybe a kid to stick around for just one more year, and that's probably all Reed Sheppard's going to do anyway. But to your point, it doesn't hurt. You know, I've heard this hire likened to, oh gosh, Kenny Payne at Louisville. They tried to bring the alum home, and it didn't work.
That's not fair.
A big difference here. Mark Pope has far more head coaching experience than Kenny Payne had none, to be honest with you, as a head coach. So you and I talked about this too. I mean, I don't know if it's always the right decision to bring the alum back into the fold or bring the alum home, but I'm not anti that. Again, with the guy's got some experience, and you start looking around the college basketball landscape. Can Hubert Davis coach? I don't know, but he's done good things at North Carolina, right? John Shire's doing good things at Duke at the moment. I mean, it can work out. And, you know, neither one of those guys at the time were considered home run hires, right? I mean, you didn't win the press conference with Hubert Davis. You didn't win the press conference with John Shire. But if that's who the AD trusts, and again, Mitch, I think the thing that Mitch has going against him is the following. He blew it once with Billy Clyde Gillespie. He blew it twice by giving the ridiculous contract to Cal. And so the trust factor with him is out the window. So that part I do understand from Kentucky fans. But listen, I don't think this is a bad hire. It's at least worth giving him the chance. And again, if this brings some donors that Cal alienated back into the fold to pump money into NIL, it's still Kentucky. That name will recruit itself with the right NIL dollars.
Yeah, I think the other thing that would concern you as a Kentucky fan about Mitch Barnhart's process is he didn't want to hire Cal 15 years ago. The one hire that he got right, the thing he did well, he was kind of forced to do. And so everyone's kind of talking today like he went rogue. He made this decision on his own. He did not have full support or full approval from everyone else and all the other decision makers to do this. And that would concern me. But it is completely unfair to compare Kenny Payne to Mark Pope. This is not a clown hire. Pope has done a legitimate job of building up his resume and becoming a real college coach. And again, I wouldn't even be against this idea if you told me down the line Mark Pope was going to be the next head Kentucky coach, or if you told me, hey, we went through our first 5, 6, 7 guys that were clear-cut better options with more NCAA tournament experience that were more obtainable than Mark Pope, and they didn't want it, and he's a Kentucky guy, we believe in him, we're going to go with him. I think the issue everyone has is to find out that somehow a guy with 0 NCAA tournament wins was potentially 3rd or 4th on your list of coaches. That just seems insane at Kentucky. And Skinny, I'd also make this comment. A lot of people are going to point out the idea that if Mark Pope wasn't a former Kentucky player, that he would never be considered for this job. And I think that's right. The head coach at BYU with no NCAA tournament wins and hire him as Kentucky's head coach if he wasn't a former Kentucky player. But I would also counter that with, to your John Shire point, if Mark Pope had been on Kentucky's bench this whole time as the associate head coach, and Cal had said 3 years ago, Mark Pope is the coach in waiting, we're grooming him for this job, he will take over when I leave, and that was pretty clear cut to everyone, would Kentucky fans have an issue with this hire then, or would they be okay with it? And if you're going to say, well, I would probably feel better about it in that case, then don't you feel better about a guy who went out on his own and cut his teeth and made a transition from mid-major into the big freaking 12 and had some success doing so before actually becoming your head coach? So, I mean, like, I'm not sure if I'm completely sold on that. We wouldn't consider this guy unless he was a UK alum as the reason it's a bad hire.
Yeah, and outside of the handful of names that said no, the Hurley situation, Nate Oates, you know, obviously now the story, the report of Billy Donovan, and then you had a candidate, clear cut. Scott Drew may have been number one on the list for all I know.
I think he was clearly number one.
Yeah,
and Mitch Barnhart's eye.
So he said no, and so then what tier are we at that point, and what would be something that would assuage the fan base? Give me a handful of names that you think that they think they should have gone after, and I'm going to probably refute every one of them.
Yeah, I think the next group of coaches that most of the fans were looking at was the Bruce Pearls, Sean Millers, Chris Beards, Shaka Smarts, the next group of names that have had actual NCAA tournament success. And there's other ones you can throw out there. I've heard a few interesting names. I mean, even up-and-comers. I think Todd Golden was an interesting name out of the up-and-comers. Heck, I think a name, and I mentioned this, I don't know if it was to you or if it was on Chatterbox this earlier this week, a name that I'm a little surprised now that didn't get any play at all. I know he just signed a deal recently with Notre Dame, but Micah Shrewsbury is a really analytical mind that's an up-and-comer that has had a little bit of success at the high major level already.
I would say the issue with that, though, is that would be what, he'd have his third job in 4 years. Is that right? From Penn State to Notre Dame for two?
Or Notre Penn Dame for State, one? Yeah, he's been at Notre Dame for one. He was at Penn State for a couple.
Three jobs in 3 years. No, thank you.
Well, I mean, but he, what's the issue there? He went to Penn, he was at the Boston Celtics. He went to Penn State, had 2 years of success, then got a better job. What would be the issue with that?
I mean, Notre Dame wasn't very good this year.
Well, he just took over a disaster.
And I think that's the point. And then build that program up. And then that's the thing for these guys. I mean, Danny Hurley built something at Rhode Island. He then got the chance and the opportunity to build something at UConn. Mark Pope didn't have to rebuild BYU. BYU's been a long-time successful college basketball program.
Right. And he's yet to win an NCAA tournament game with them.
And that's fair. And that's a fair
point. It's Kentucky, Skinny. Like, you can't skip over the fact that he has never won an NCAA tournament game, and he's now the head coach of Kentucky. That's a huge deal. They're talking about Cal wasn't good enough because he hasn't been to a Final Four in the last 5 years.
Hubert Davis had never been a head coach. John Shire had never been a head coach. I mean, it's worked out fine.
They had never been head coaches. They hadn't been head coaches and missed the NCAA or never won an NCAA tournament game. There's a difference to that.
I don't expect many NCAA tournament wins at Utah Valley or at BYU. Yes, maybe this year was one. They were the sixth seed. They lost to an 11 seed.
That's the problem. He's lost to lower seeds both times.
Yeah. I just don't have a problem with this hire. I think you get to a point where you go ahead and make the hire and if this was with booster intent in mind and boosters were behind this, then I think you got yourself a win-win. You've got a proven head coach he's a consistent 20-win guy at those places too. That's the other part. Again, I know we're talking about, the point of him not winning an NCAA tournament game, but again, I don't have much of a problem with this. I know we talked about, you cover, for those that don't know, Rick runs MusketeerReport.com. Most people who are watching this do, but just for further clarification. And we talked about Sean Miller the other day, and there's a question there about how serious was the Sean Miller chatter. Rick, I don't even know if it got to that point, did it?
Yeah, I'll be honest. And the reason I never thought Sean Miller was really going to be a serious candidate is because of exactly how this played out. I don't think Mitch Barnhart really wanted to talk to any of those guys that may have had quote unquote baggage attached to their name. And you can argue about how much baggage is actually there with some of these guys and the varying levels of baggage, but I don't think he wanted to talk to any of them. And the other part is he's close with Calipari. And I think Mitch Barnhart, after the way things went down with Cal, he was not going to prefer a guy who was close to Calipari, especially if the fan base wasn't clamoring for that guy. And I don't think UK's fan base was dying to have Sean Miller.
Yeah, to the baggage portion of that the program with that, Chris Beard comes with baggage, but is it fair baggage?
Well, in what way? I mean, like, there's a pretty legit police report about what happened that night. I don't.
Yeah, but he was never convicted of anything.
I'll say this. Chris Beard would bother me a whole lot more than Shaka Smart. Will Wade or Sean Miller or Bruce Pearl. Those are the three names.
My question, because I think we could all agree Chris Beard is a really good coach, period.
Really
story.
Good coach.
But I do think there's my point to it is there is baggage with him. Question is it fair? That's the question.
Well, I see, and that's my point. I think Chris Beard's baggage is way more fair and way more concerning than the guys who are accused of potentially maybe paying a player, which is completely legal now. Yeah, I don't understand why you would care about Will Wade's baggage at all right now or Sean Miller's baggage at all right now. To me, that's not really baggage anymore.
Yeah, I had a couple of friends that texted me, Chris Beard ? When this was starting to shake down that it wasn't going to be Scott Drew. And my point was, I just don't, fair or unfair, there's baggage there with the guy. And I think, to your point, I think they wanted somebody as clean behind the scenes as possibly you could get.
Yeah. And again, that's not coming from me saying like these guys have too much baggage that I wouldn't hire them. But just from Mitch Barnhart's process that clearly took place here, I think he wanted nothing to do with those types of guys. And otherwise, I think Bruce Pearl probably would have been the top name that Kentucky fans wanted in that second tier of names.
Yeah. And I like Bruce. I think he's a really good coach and he certainly is going to win the press conference. He likes to talk. I think the other thing we said the other day is, I think of at the stage, just give me a coach that coaches basketball. I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. And Mark Pope, I think, is that guy. I don't think you're going to have him you know, talking down to the fan base, you know, it's just constantly being a used car salesman. And again, maybe that's the part of the Cal charm initially, but it eventually wore itself off. I just give me a coach who's going to coach basketball and let the results prove themselves. And the other part to this too is you are tied in 5 years or whatever, right? But again, if these things go haywire within a couple of years, you can get out from under it. And I don't see it going haywire. I just don't. I think the guy will get players. I think the NIL will help get players. The NIL tied to the name Kentucky will get players, and they will have success.
I think it'll be very different from how it was with Cal. And I think a lot of people want it to be different. It is going to be all about Kentucky. And I think that's one thing that the fan base has been longing for a number of years. It was kind of cool at first when Cal took over with the one and done stuff. And we populate the NBA with all its biggest stars. They all come from Kentucky. But once they started losing games with that, that became real old to fans. And I think even the biggest Cal supporters are a little bit tired of hearing about the upcoming draft and how many players are going to be drafted when they didn't get to make an NCAA tournament run this past year. And so I think from that standpoint, fans are really going to like Mark Pope because it's going to be all about the name on the front of the jersey and how much he loves Kentucky and all of that. I also think he's not going to have the cool factor. It's not going to be La Familia. It's not going to be Drake hanging around at practice. He's kind of a cornball. It's going to be a little bit Pat Kelsey-ish. It's going to be rapping Hamilton lyrics like we saw that video, or him doing the C-A-T-S cats, cats, cats cheer in his full jersey while he's the head coach at BYU. Like, he's a little bit of a goofball, but he has a ton of energy, and he is all about basketball. I think he's just focused on basketball. You're not going to get as much glitz and glamour off the court with him, but he is going to be fun. He's going to be a good soundbite, and I think he's going to really kind of energize the fan base from the being focused back on the basketball side of things. And he has the exact type of offense that they've been dying for from Cal. Shoot a ton of threes, move the ball around like crazy, have it really pinging around on offense, lots of movement, lots of cutting. I mean, he runs the modern style of offense that everyone has been wanting Cal to play. So if you were hoping for the Nate Oates style of offense, lots of threes, really analytical approach, you pretty much got that with Mark Pope.
Yeah. And again, it is such an inexact science, right? I mean, we've mentioned Nate Oates on this show. Nate Oates was sitting on Buffalo's bench as an assistant. They said, yeah, when Bobby Hurley left, okay, you're the guy. He hit the ground running, did great things at Alabama. Sometimes you just don't know. I mean, it's easy to always assume that the name is going to win, but sometimes you make the hire that sometimes you swallow hard and have to listen to the criticism of it. But again, in this case, if you got the booster support, you still have a coach that's done some things proven-wise in the regular season at the very least. It cut his teeth, won games, to your point, plays a fun style. I think you at least – here's the only thing I would say. You at least have to give this a chance, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it was fair to be frustrated about the process, and it's over with now, and you can kind of move on. And I think Kentucky fans, for the most part, will. Like I said on our podcast earlier this week, the thing for fans now is everyone gets behind the guy after the initial press conference. Sure. Everyone loves that first social media video that the coach puts out, and they all get on board. So I think Kentucky fans will be fine by next week. It's just going to take a little bit of time for them to get over the way this all went down.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point, but I'm with you. And, you know, I'm not anti this hire by any stretch of the imagination. I get the frustration, but I'm not. I just let the guy have a chance. That's all.
Same. Skinny, that's all I got.
Yep, thanks very much. For Rick Loring, I'm Richard Skinner. This has been the Skinny Podcast, the emergency edition with the hiring of Mark Pope as Kentucky's basketball coach.